now time for the Bible reading, and this morning we are reading from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1, and you'll find that on page 860. John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 and going to verse 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world.
Well, good morning again, everyone. It's going to be great to look at this passage in John together in just a moment, and I'd love to first pray before we do that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance now to look at your word together. Thanks that we've already been able to think about it a bit in the kids' talk, and we've been able to read it. We pray now that as we slow down and think through what you're saying to us, we pray that you'd really deeply impact us by that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So it's only 10 more sleeps until Christmas Day, and we are well and truly into the festive season. It's great. Wasn't it awesome to be able to have our carol services over the last two nights? And I think we can thank the people that put those on, particularly the musicians. They've been strumming away and doing all this hard work, singing, and it's just been really good to be able to get into that Christmas spirit together. Over the last few weeks, you would have heard carols being played in the stores. You would have seen more and more Christmas lights like these ones going up around the place. Now, yesterday as a family, we finally put up our Christmas tree and the lights after being bugged relentlessly by my kids. And it was great to be able to put that up together and enjoy the Christmas lights. And I reckon Christmas lights are actually one of the really cool things about Christmas. I love it how people put up lights either on their Christmas trees or they decorate their entire homes at times. I think it's great. As a family, one of our favourite Christmas traditions is to head out late one night around this time of the year. We find out where in Kingborough, where are the good lights, and we go and drive around and check them out. Sometimes they're bordering on ridiculous, but we love just seeing the effort people go to. Every year we comment about how high their Aurora bills must be, and every year we comment how we're grateful not to live next to that house with all those lights. Christmas lights are great. They're nice to see, they're pretty, they're decorative, they bring a sense of joy, they bring a sense of happiness and entertainment, but that's all they really do, isn't it? That's about it. The primary function of Christmas lights is not to kind of light up your way. You know, if all the street lights went out and our car lights weren't working, well, Christmas lights aren't going to be enough to kind of navigate around the place. The primary function of Christmas lights is not to be able to provide light to read something in a dark room. You know, if you want to sit down in your lounge at night to read a book, you're not just going to have the Christmas tree lights going on twinkle mode to do that, are you? Rather, the primary function and purpose of Christmas lights is just decorative. It's just entertainment. Now, Christmas lights as well are only very temporary, both in the sense that most people, bar maybe Rachel, have them only up in December. Most people take them down pretty quickly after Christmas. But they're also only temporary as they provide temporary entertainment. Now, even the best displays, you'll drive up to this amazing house and check it out, and then after a minute or two, you go, oh, that was cool, let's now move on to the next one. Christmas lights are only temporary. Now, Christmas lights don't exactly solve the world's problems either. They're not claiming to, but They don't solve our crime rates, or they don't tell me how to live. They don't fix the problems I'm having. You know, no one thinks, oh, I'm having a rough year. I've been really struggling this year. I've had depression. I've had anxiety. Someone near to me has died this year. No one thinks, well, I know, I'll go check out some Christmas lights. That'll fix everything. No one thinks that about Christmas lights. Christmas lights are great at providing some temporary decoration, some temporary entertainment, but after that, they're gone. Like a lot of the stuff we do at Christmas time, they provide a quick fix, a bit of fun, maybe a bit of distraction, but they actually don't deeply satisfy. They can provide a really happy veneer as to what is really going on in our lives this time of year. And now in the Bible, we actually realise that the light that this world needs is not more Christmas lights. You know, we don't need more distraction, more decoration. We actually need a light of a totally different magnitude and a light of a totally different significance. And the Bible and the passage we're looking at this morning, there's a claim that a light has come into the world that just totally outshines any Christmas light display. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ being a true light that we actually need. A light that's not just decorative, a light that's not just temporary, but a light of huge weight, a light of huge significance that you cannot miss. And so let's have a look at this Bible passage together, this Bible passage that talks about Jesus as the true light. If you've shut your Bibles, please reopen them. We want to look at it together. We're going to look at John chapter 1. It's on page 860 if you've got one of those red Bibles that you might have in front of you. And so we're going to see about this true light. We're going to see three things. And the first thing is that Jesus is the light of life for all people. And so how about we read the passage again together? Let's refamiliarise ourselves. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. Now, at first glance, as we read through that, you might think, well, wait a sec, Jesus isn't even mentioned here. Why are you saying Jesus is the true light? You know, it's written by a guy called John. There's mention of some other guy called John. There's mention of something called the Word. What even is that? Why do we say that Jesus is the true light? Well, it's because John, the writer John, is using this phrase, the Word, to actually refer to Jesus. He's using a well-known Greek word at the time called logos, which has been translated for us in English as the Word. And logos refers to what the Greek philosophers at the time called this ancient sort of principle that kind of undergirded everything. They thought logos was some sort of immaterial intelligence which could explain the way the world worked, explain rational thought, explain the laws of nature, explain our reality. That's what they thought logos was. And so they'd sit around and sort of pontificate about this logos thing, but John goes, no. Logos, the Word, is not this sort of force or something. It's actually God, and God himself has come as a person. Logos is a person that you've actually seen. We didn't read it early, but have a look at verse 14. It says, the Word, that Logos, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, i.e. Jesus, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. And so John says that the Word is the ultimate disclosure of God himself. It's his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth. Well, what does John say about Jesus as Logos, as the Word? Well, look at verse 1 and 2. He says he was right there at the beginning of the world. He was with God, and in fact, he is God. Verse 3 says, Jesus created everything. Verse 4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Verses 6 to 8 talk about another John the Baptist, being the person who came just before Jesus arrived to kind of prepare the way for him to come. And then have a look at verse 9. That's because the true light, Jesus, that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, if we'd actually just keep reading John, if we kept reading the whole lot, we'd actually see Jesus on multiple times refers to himself as the light. Now, have a look up there. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Jesus saying, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Or John 9:5, Jesus says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And so the message is that Jesus is the light of the world. But what does that even mean, the light of the world? That's, you know, is he like the sun or the moon or something? Or is he just this really cool spotlight? Well, I think to help us understand what it might mean that Jesus is the light of the world, we should think about what light means for us in general terms. Now, what do we picture when we think of light? What does light do for us? And so why would Jesus be called the light? You know, last Sunday, Graham talked about how light exposes things. Light can show us the reality of the situation. It illuminates us to see the truth. Julia in the kids' talk just talked about how light shows us God, shows us sin, shows us what we are like. Light illuminates things. But on top of that, don't we also often associate light with good and dark with evil? How many movies can you think of where the director uses light and dark to depict good and evil? You know, movies like Star Wars spring to mind. I think light can also represent hope, can't it? You know, picture yourself stuck in a dark cave or in a mine that has kind of collapsed in on itself, and you're stuck in this dark hollow, thinking you're in a hopeless situation. If in that moment you suddenly sort of spotted a tiny little ray of light coming in, wouldn't that give you hope? Light would mean a way out. Light can mean hope. I think light can also mean direction. You try navigating through the bush at night with no headlights, no torch, no nothing, no moonlight. That doesn't work so well because light gives direction. But most importantly, light also means life. Light also means life. We know, don't we, in order for plants to live and thrive, they actually need light. You try growing a plant without any light, it doesn't work so well. Now, our house is actually on stilts. It's up, raised up on some poles. And underneath it, underneath the house, sort of tucked in under it, we planted this lily plant. It's out of direct sunlight. It gets a bit of natural light, but not much. And what's been amazing to see is as this plant has sort of grown, it's actually kind of come out of the box and come out at right angles to try and get to the light. It's desperate to get to the light. It's craving light because it knows that light will give it life. And if you look back at our passage, look at verse 4, I think it's especially this life-giving nature of light that John is referring to. Jesus is the light because, read verse 4, that says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is the true light because he has brought life into this world. You know, he first brought life when he created the world, but then he brought it again when he came to earth. Because up until the world, up until Jesus came again, the world has been under the constant curse of death and darkness. The Bible talks about how the world originally started without death at all, but that death entered the world as a punishment when our first ancestors, the world's first inhabitants, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God. And so from that point on, the world and its people have been subject to death, to decay, to destruction, because we kept following their footsteps. We rebelled against God. But then Jesus, the Word became flesh, arrived and changed all that. Jesus, the light, came to fix things up for the dying world and its dying inhabitants. John 10, verse 10, what does Jesus say there? He says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full. And so how does Jesus bring life? We've said the light is of Jesus, him bringing life. Well, how does he bring it? How does he fix the situation of death? Well, look at verse 5 again in our passage. Verse 5 in our passage. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God has revealed someone that actually gets rid of the darkness, of sin and its consequences, someone that defeats sin, someone who darkness couldn't actually defeat. Now, as humans, we actually tried to kill Jesus. But in that act, in that moment on the cross where he's hanging there, we're trying to kill him, that was the precise point in which he totally and utterly defeated darkness and death. In dying on the cross, he took the punishment for all the sins that were resulting in our death. And so if you believe in Jesus, well, your sins, the sins that should mean that you should die, they are forgiven. They're laid on him instead of on to us. So if you believe in him, you're not going to die. You'll die and then have eternal life with him in heaven. Jesus rising from the dead shows that he's defeated death for good. And so this light of life is the sacrificial gift that Jesus actually gives to us. Now look at John 5:24. You can see throughout John he's referring to this a lot. Jesus, what does he say? Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has, what? Eternal life and will not be judged because they have crossed over from death to life. So in other words, if you don't believe in Jesus, you're actually dead. If you want to live forever, if you want to not come into judgment, you need this gift of life, the life that comes through Jesus. Look at verse 4 again in our passage. In him was life. That life was the light for all mankind. Now, so Jesus, he's not some sort of temporary kind of decorative light like the ones we have here. He is a permanent life-giving light. Christmas lights will come and go, but Jesus' light, that's going to keep shining forever. And it's going to shine in a way that we need. And because he brings this life, do you notice as well, he actually brings the other things that light, we talked about, that light bring as well. Because of what he's done, he is the good that defeats evil. His light exposes sin and illuminates the truth, tells us about ourselves and sin and God. And doesn't his light bring us ultimate direction? Doesn't his light bring us ultimate hope? That's Jesus. He is the light of life for all people. Look at John 8:12 again. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness but have the light of life. Can you see that? Does that excite you that Jesus brings this light of life this Christmas? But then we have to think, well, where does that leave us? We've seen Jesus, the true light of life, but what are we? Well, we are the people in need of that light. And that's because we can't make the mistake this Christmas of just seeing Jesus as a decorative light. No, no, he is the light of life for all mankind, of which we are part of that. As humans, we need to discover and see our need for this light, the significance of what he's done. Without Jesus, we remain in the dark. It's like we're lost in the dark. We need Jesus to show us life. John 12:46, I'm going to keep hitting these John references. John is full of this. Jesus says, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If you don't have Jesus the light, you are stuck in darkness. You need Jesus. Now, one of the issues might be is that you don't actually realise that you're in the darkness to begin with. You don't recognise your need. You think, you know, the world's problems and stuff that's happening in your life, you know, that's not your fault. That's someone else's fault. The world's problems are caused by something else. There's another way to fix them. Or perhaps you think, okay, I've got these problems, the world's got problems, but maybe I need to just ignore them. I just need to just do with what I've got. I need to live once and just have as much fun and entertainment as I can in that time. And so you cram into your life all these distractions, all these other solutions, and you end up missing the true light that you need. I think a common way that people often miss the true light at Christmas time is when they think that Jesus is just one of the bits of Christmas that you can kind of take or leave if you want to. He's just optional. It's not something you kind of desperately need. You know, just like you can choose to have Christmas lights, you can choose to have prawns instead of turkey, or you can choose to have both. People think that Jesus is just an optional extra, just something you can have if you feel like it at this time of year. You know, you might give him a bit of airtime in December, just like you'll head out and look at some Christmas lights. You might just get a bit of Jesus in December at some point. But you can't do that with Jesus. You can't do that with the true light. Jesus is the light you need and you can't miss it. You can do without turkey, you can do without mistletoe, but you can't do without this light. What does Jesus say in John 3:36? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And so do you see your need for Jesus this Christmas? Do you see your need for the light? Do you realise you're in the darkness without him? You know, perhaps you've had a hard year. I don't know what your year has been like. Perhaps the sort of stuff that you've been relying on has just let you down this year. And you've realised the stuff you've been chasing is just temporary. It's just a facade. It's just like a Christmas light that's going to come and go. Or perhaps, actually, you've had a good year. You've had a great year. But you've still been left thinking that something is missing. Well, if either of those people are you, I encourage you to come to Jesus, the true light, this year. I think a great thing that you could do this year is to continue reading the book of John. As you've noticed, John is full of references to Jesus as the light. Jesus, the light you need. You know, John, who wrote this gospel, even explicitly writes why he wrote it. Look at John 20, 30 and 31. Why did he write this book? It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not recorded in this book, but these are written so that you might believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you might have, there it is again, life in his name. If you want to have true life, read John's gospel. Check it out this Christmas time. Read it over the Christmas break. The welcoming table's got Bibles. If you don't own one, they'll give you one. They'd love to see you read John's gospel. And even if you already believe in Jesus, many of us here do, I encourage you as well to read John's gospel this Christmas time. Take the time to reconnect with the light and remember what Jesus has done. There's a saying about John's gospel that apparently Augustine said, but that's not certain. He said that John's gospel is deep enough for an elephant to swim in and shallow enough for a child not to drown in. It's a beautiful account about Jesus, what he came to do, who he said he was, and what he achieved. And it only takes you about 2 hours to read John's gospel from start to finish. I reckon you'd be able to find time to do that over this Christmas break. One of the recent TV shows that Jackie and I binge watch was Stranger Things 3. And we smashed that. We covered that in like 2 weeks or something. We went through it really easily. And I looked back and I added up how many hours of TV watching that was. And it was 7.5 hours. And it made me think, well, wait a minute. If John's gospel's only 2 hours, I can easily do that over this Christmas break. So I encourage us. Let's reconnect with the light. Let's read John's gospel this Christmas time. So we've seen Jesus is the true light we need. To close, though, I want to think of one more angle, a slightly different angle. And that is because John also tells us something else about the light of Jesus by using the example of John the Baptist in verses 6 to 8. I just sort of skipped over these verses before. But did you pick up on what it says about us and how we actually relate to the true light? Now, let's read them again. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, and so through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. You see, John and us, we are not the light. We don't have the ability to overcome sin and darkness and death. Only Jesus can do that. He is the true light. And so rather than us thinking, oh, we're all special here, we're the light, we're the ones everyone should look at, our role is to go, no, 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 look at the true light. Point others to him so that others would believe. John and us should be, don't look at me, look at him, look at Jesus. He is what you need. You know, if I've been to see some amazing Christmas lights around Kingborough, then I wouldn't hesitate to go and tell other people about them. I'd say, go to Hampton Court in Blattmans Bay, great Christmas lights there. Go to, Frieser Court up near the Sports Centre. They're crazy about them up there. Go and check them out. I'm more than happy to share with other people where great Christmas lights are. Or how about we tell loads and loads of people this Christmas about the true light, the permanent life? Why don't we go tell people where they can go and find him? Now, someone recently shared with me a good question that they asked people at Christmas time to try and kind of open up the conversation and make it about Jesus. They asked their friends this question at Christmas time. They say, what's your favourite tradition at Christmas? What's your favourite tradition at Christmas? Now, at that point, you can listen to what they're having to say and hear about their traditions that they like to do. And then hopefully they'll ask that same question back to you. What's your favourite tradition at Christmas time? And you'll get the opportunity to talk about how you love to hear about the true light this Christmas. You love singing carols about him. You love reading the story under the Christmas tree and enjoying the lights and thinking about the true light. Because if you've found the true light, that's your role right now, to point people to him. How about we pray now? Let's thank God for sending the true light this Christmas and ask that we can point people to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year where we get to celebrate the birth of the true light, Jesus Christ. We thank you for sending him into this world that so desperately needed it. We pray this Christmas that we would reflect on that, help us read the story again and reflect on what you've done, and help us be able to point others to that true light as well. Thanks, we get to the fun of Christmas lights and food and presents, and help us just keep having in the back of our mind who the true light is this Christmas. We pray that in his name. Amen.